Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Well, all right. Well, this morning we are finishing our series on who we are that we've called Family Reunion. And the first week, all the way back in April, actually, the first week, we talked about our mission as a church, that we are a family of faith growing together to show Christ's love to all. This is what we want to be about. This is who we are. And then these last few weeks, we have talked about what we call our family habits, those things that we believe as we practice them regularly, that they help us to grow as followers of Jesus. And the first three we've already looked at, and those are easily, they are gathering faithfully, they're growing continually, and giving generously. And our last habit that we're going to look at today is going daily. And here's the whole thing. Going daily as intentional missionaries into our homes, our community, and the world to show Christ's love to all. So you can kind of catch that last song, what a little bit of that was all about, all right? So if you're looking for an easier way to kind of remember these habits, maybe the two words are a little bit difficult for you. We kind of made them rhyme, and they all start with G's if you just take the first word, all right? So gather, grow, give, go. You can remember that, right? You can remember that. I know you can. I know you can remember that, okay? But these are, again, what we believe at Community Fellowship are they're going to help us grow in Christ likeness. Now, none of these habits, none of these are something that's just like a one and done. These are all things that we're continuing to do as we follow Jesus. We're always going to be gathering. We're always going to be growing. We're always going to be giving, and we're always going to be going. But I'm kind of getting ahead of myself because we want to dissect this last habit. But before we do that, we want to make sure we turn to God's Word to understand this idea of going, where it comes from in His Word. So if you have your Bible, would you please turn with me to Matthew chapter 28? We're actually going to look at two passages this morning that are pretty brief, but two passages are going to help us with this idea of going. So Matthew chapter 28, we're going to start in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Okay, so our second passage is Luke's account of Jesus' ascension. So we're just going to look at one verse there, Acts 1, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." All right. So just so we understand what's going on in both of these passages, Jesus has risen from the dead. Jesus is resurrected, and he spent nearly 40 days appearing to many of his disciples. Not just the 11 that we see in these passages, but he's also spent time appearing to over 500 men and women. These men and women were part of his ministry and followed him during his ministry before his crucifixion and resurrection. And so he's appeared to all of these people. But now, in this Acts passage, he is about to ascend to his rightful and rightly earned place at the right hand of God. So that's what's going on in this passage. And these are his last instructions before he goes to be with God again, before he returns back to the heavens. These are the last things that he tells his disciples. However, before we kind of just dive into that last habit that flows out of Jesus's last command, it's really important that we see something here in this Acts passage in Acts 1:8, okay? So I want you to see this and look back at it with me again. Because Jesus explains where the power to fulfill this command is going to come from. He says the Holy Spirit. It says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So the power to complete this last command, this last task that Jesus has given to his disciples is only going to come about through the work and the power of the Holy Spirit in us, in each of us. It cannot be accomplished in your own efforts. It's not like grit and determination are going to be the thing that accomplishes this mission. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want us to make sure that we understand that before we keep on going. Because if you're sitting here this morning and you're wanting some practical stuff that you can kind of use for the rest of the week, but you have never made a decision to follow Jesus, been baptized, and been filled with his Holy Spirit, it's going to be near impossible. Maybe I should just say it that way. It is going to be impossible for you to complete the task of what we're talking about today, because it is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that you can accomplish this mission. Okay? All right. So let's break apart our habit. We said going daily as intentional missionaries into our homes, our community, and the world to show Christ's love to all. Now, in this Matthew passage that we read, which is commonly referred to as Jesus's great commission for his disciples, he also uses the word go. That's actually what it starts out with, right? But the word go is actually not the command in the passage. Do you know that? That's not the command that Jesus gives. It's actually a little grammar lesson for you. In the Greek, it's actually a present participle. So really what the word go is actually saying is saying as you go or while you go. And then comes the command. The command is to make disciples. That's the command. That's the command of the whole verse. In fact, baptizing and teaching, guess what they modify? Make disciples. So that's the command. The command is that we are called as his disciples to make disciples. However, Jesus is saying something about going that's actually pretty important as well. Instead of just living life and kind of going through the humdrum, doobie-da-dee-da-da, right? Jesus is saying you need to be intentional. You need to go intentionally. So as you're living your life intentionally. You have purpose for every single day. Every conversation, every encounter with someone is intentional. It's the way that we as Christians are supposed to live, intentionally. It's incredible how Jesus always does that. He redeems everything in you. Not just your soul, not just your eternity, not just your emotions. He even redeems the seemingly mundane minutes of your everyday life. If you are intentional with them, because he gives them purpose, and the purpose is, as you're going, make disciples. That's our job as disciples. The next part of our habit says daily. We go daily. Keith Green was a talented musician and a spiritual seeker during the kind of 60s and 70s cultural moment of the hippie era, all right? And like a lot of hippies at that time, he was really trying to spiritually find some truth. He was seeking for truth. And so he had all these other people that were with him in this exploration, and he would sing and he would write about it. Enter Jesus. He has a life-transforming encounter with Jesus Christ, and it changes everything, even his music. So instead of the music of kind of spiritually seeking and looking in all these different ways, he says, I've found truth. And a lot of people got really irritated with him. They were really frustrated. A lot of his friends got frustrated because, like, hey, we were on this exploration together, and now you're just telling me truth, 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 truth. I don't want you to shove this down my throat. And he's like, but I found the truth. Why would I not want to tell you the truth? And so in so many of his songs, this compelling truth comes out. And there's one in particular that not only made his friends, but it actually made the church upset. And I want to read it to you. Here's what he says. This is a song called To Obey is Better Than Sacrifice. And here was the controversial line. To obey is better than sacrifice. I want more than Sunday and Wednesday nights. Because if you can't come to me every day, then don't bother coming at all. That was one that stepped on people's toes, and they were very offended. They felt like the lyric wasn't as grace-filled as it needed to be. But Keith was trying to call the church prophetically to holiness. This idea of daily being with Jesus. And here's the thing that's true about this statement. Each of us has to understand that our relationship with Jesus Christ cannot be sustained by Sunday morning. It can't. If you come in here and you think, and this is what's going to fulfill your relationship with Jesus, and you're going to get filled up here. Now, listen, I want us to gather together. We should be gathering together. We should be encouraging each other, building each other up. But to sustain the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ, the one that gives you purpose for every day, you have to be with him every day. Listen to what Jesus says. He said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross, catch this word, daily. And follow me. Daily. So being a disciple is a daily thing. It's not a once a week thing. Listen to one commentator's explanation of daily here. This means to be identified with him in surrender, suffering, and sacrifice. You cannot crucify yourself. You can only yield your body and let God do the rest. In other words, every day we yield ourselves to Jesus. We surrender ourselves to God's desire for us for that day and what he wants to do through us through the power of his Holy Spirit. So our habit is going daily. Daily we go. It's always in the forefront of our minds. Always right here that we're surrendering ourselves to what God wants to do through us that day. And we ask him, what do you want to do through me today? How do you want to use me today in my conversations, in my interactions? How do you want to use me, Jesus? Can I ask you a question? When you hear the word missionary, what do you think about? What do you think about when you hear the word missionary? Does it make you think of somebody from another country that is learning that language over there? That's serving and you're giving your money towards them. Or maybe it makes you think of an email that you get once a month to kind of let you know and update you on what they're doing and how the ministry is going over there. Or maybe it makes you think of digging for wells in some arid place in Africa. Or maybe it makes you think of people who go to door, knocking on door saying, hey, can I have a conversation with you about Jesus? Maybe that's what you think of when you think of a missionary. And that can be an aspect of being a missionary. But the truth is, every person who's trusted in Jesus Christ is a missionary, or at least they should be. They should be a missionary. That's exactly what these two passages that we've read this morning, that's what they're saying. They're saying that we are called to mission. Now, we kind of did a little grammatical thing last week, and I want you to look at this again with me, okay? So another grammar lesson. The suffix "ary" from missionary means belonging to. So in other words, a missionary is someone who belongs to a mission. And guess who that is? You? Me? Everyone who's put their faith in Jesus Christ. We have been called to the mission. Remember what the mission is? Make disciples. We've been called to that mission. So every Christian in this room, you are a missionary. Your mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus lays out exactly where this is supposed to take place. So we look back in the Acts passage. It says this, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So just so we can understand this a little bit better geographically, I want us to kind of understand this. Jerusalem is where the disciples were when Jesus gives them this charge, okay? But not only that, Jerusalem was the capital city of Israel. It was the place where God's presence, they believed, was. So it was their home. So the first place that Jesus is saying that you're going to be my witnesses is home. The first place for us in making disciples should be our home. Just a few weeks ago, we had two families who stood before us, this entire church, and they declared the truth that they wanted to raise their children as Jesus-following people. And they made that promise to us that we're going to do everything we can to raise our children up to follow Jesus. And that's what they're spending their time doing now. They're trying to think of how they can intentionally push their kids towards Jesus, making them disciples of him. Now, please hear me, because it's not just those two families. If you're a parent in this room, that is your responsibility. Your responsibility is to raise up your child to follow Jesus. It's not my responsibility. It's not Pastor Ronald's responsibility. If you are a parent, it is your God-given responsibility to raise your child to follow Jesus. My question is, are you? Are you? Are you using all of the influence that you have to point your children's hearts to Jesus? Because I can promise you this, whether you believe it or not, whether you realize it or not, you are discipling them. You already are. The question is, to whom or to what are you making them a disciple of? Jesus says, from Jerusalem, the 11 were then called to make disciples in Judea and Samaria. Now, these were the two areas that were kind of the southern and northern parts of Israel. So this is still kind of family. This is still kind of their community, their people that the disciples are called to be witnesses to. But instead of it being their own backyard, now they're reaching into their neighbor's backyard. So the next place that we're called to be intentional missionaries is to our neighbors, or another way we could put that is to our community. So whether you're in East Bernard or in Wallace, Wharton, Nederland, we are all given this responsibility to make disciples within our community. Now, I know what I'm about to say might not seem earth-shattering or revolutionary, but please just hear me, okay? But to make an impact in our community, guess what? We have to be in our community. We have to be with the people of our community. Emily and my youth pastor growing up is an incredible speaker, incredible communicator. I still listen to his messages a lot and gather a lot of information and just you know, stuff that convicts me to the core of who I am. And a lot of the mannerisms that he had and the jokes that he would tell, we still talk about and sometimes use even with ourselves, around, you know, just among ourselves. But what's incredible is that we only had him for a little while. He felt the call to pastor, not just being youth pastor, but he felt the call to pastor. And not just pastor anywhere, he felt the call to pastor in New York City. Okay? And the reason was is because he said there were only a handful of gospel-centered churches in a 10-mile radius within the deepest part of New York City. And so he wanted to go and he wanted to be a witness to that community. And what I love is how he did it. Is how he did it. He didn't go and get a bullhorn and just start preaching on the corners. The end of the world is coming. Repent. He didn't do that. You know what he did? He joined the local gym. Started working out, making friends there. He'd go to the same restaurant. He'd begin to befriend the waiters and the waitresses. The teachers of his kids, he would invite over for dinner just to get to know them a little bit better, because he had a countercultural message for that me-centered city of New York City. But as he spent time with them, he grew in relationship with them. And here's what the most incredible part of the whole story is. So those guys that he worked out with, those guys that he spent time lifting weights with, they eventually gave their lives to Jesus. They became Christians. And then 6 years later, when JR felt the call to move back to Texas to be a little bit closer to family again, those very guys who he had worked out with, who had given their lives to Jesus, became the leaders of that church. That's what it looks like to make disciples of our community. That's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. Because he purposely inserted himself into the community. into the city. He was purposeful and intentional with that. So if we want to impact our community, we have to be in our community. This means that you're intentional with the baseball teams as coach, the dance recitals with the other moms, the coffee shop with the baristas, intentional, prayerful, loving conversations that we share our lives with people in this community. And then we have to make sure that our life aligns with the very truth that we're proclaiming. We have to make sure that we are aligned with the truth of the gospel. Finally, Jesus tells the 11 to make disciples to the ends of the earth, which is why we say we're going into our homes, our community, and the world. We're going into the world. Now, the world seems far. It seems big. It probably does. But it's not quite as far and as big as you think it is. The last few weeks, we've actually shared several of our mission partners with you, who some of them are local here in Texas, but some of them are all the way in Austria, which I have never been to Austria. I probably never will go to Austria, if I'm honest. But we're making an impact even there. And you ask me, you may be like, well, how? How in the world can I advance the gospel? Sure, I know I can financially give. You talked about that last week, Pastor. But how else? It's simple. Prayer. We so underestimate prayer and the power and the importance of prayer. Prayer. If you want to know how, it's easy. Just come and ask us. We'll give you the links to their emails. They put in there the things that they need prayer over. And we as a church need to be praying for them. But I don't want to limit it there. Okay, if I just said, okay, that's your part in contributing to witnessing to the world, that would be a serious fault of mine. Because it might be that some of you are called in here to make disciples of somewhere else in the world. That you're called outside of our community here. God may be calling you to be a missionary who does, in fact, go somewhere else. And I want to make sure that we encourage you in that. And before you start giving excuses about not being trained or you haven't been to seminary and you just really don't know, I want to share a story with you. Because I have a really good friend whose name is Sam. Sam is a really, really great guy. Sam grew up in a church not too far away from us in Magnolia, Texas. And that church put this into the heart of their people that they were supposed to be about the nations. The very thing that Jesus is saying here in Matthew 28, that they're supposed to be about the nations. Now, Sam is not, he's not a theologian. Sam hasn't been to seminary. Sam doesn't even have any Bible college degree. Sam's a mechanic. That's what Sam does. By the time he was 19, he was working on small engines, and he had been able to basically rebuild the engine of a motorcycle. That was his skill. That was his talent. That was his ability. An opportunity came up when he was still 19 for him to go and use that skill in Papua New Guinea. There was a group that was going with Wycliffe Bible Translators. And so he said, I want to go. I want to help. And if this skill can be used, then I want to use it. So he goes over to Papua New Guinea, and he fell in love with the people. He fell in love with their culture. He came back, thought about school, still had the people that he had met over there who had just grabbed his heart, on his heart. And so he said, can I go be a missionary over there? Can I do this? And Wycliffe said, man, we need people like you who can fix some of these bikes, not only for our missionaries so that they can go into the remotest parts of Papua New Guinea, but also for the locals. It's an incredible blessing that we can give to the locals to be able to fix their bikes because that's their main form of transportation. And so God is using Sam in Papua New Guinea just from the skill of being a mechanic. You don't have to be a Bible-trained seminarian. God may be calling you to a particular place where you fall in love with the people that you can share Jesus with just from using some of the skills that he's already given you. We talked about that last week. The talents, the abilities that God has given you, God may want to use somewhere else. And if we let him, he will. If we let him, he will use those things for us to take that message to the end of the world. Now, each of us who decided to follow Jesus, we're called to make disciples. This is what we've been saying. And that starts with the gospel message that God loved his creation so much that instead of leaving it in ruin and decay, instead of letting humanity get the punishment that it deserved for its own rebellion, he sent his son to suffer the punishment in our place. Do you know what gospel means? It means good news. There is no greater news than that news right there. That God loves us. That he saved us. That he fills us with his Spirit. And that he gives us a mission. He gives us a purpose. Fulfilling that mission starts right now, right here, in our homes, in our community, and ultimately to the world. And the question that we have to ask ourselves as we finish up this morning is, am I allowing the Spirit of God to help me fulfill the mission of making disciples in these spaces? Am I allowing him to help me fulfill that mission? And this morning, as I pray in a minute, I want you to ask the Lord, God, how? How do you want to use me? How do you want to use me? Maybe you recognize that you need to be more intentional in your home, more intentional with your kids, more intentional with your spouse. Maybe it's this morning that you recognize you need to start inviting neighbors over for dinner, just being intentional in those relationships with them, being able to share, and like we sang a minute ago, the things that you have witnessed God do in your own life, that you can share that with them. Or maybe you recognize, man, I've kind of just let those mission partners kind of glaze over as we've prayed over them this last few weeks. I need to be more intentional about being prayerful over them. As I pray in just a second, I want to invite you to ask God what you are supposed to respond. But please, when you ask him, be obedient. Respond in obedience. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we recognize the truth that the mission that you've called us to, God, is the greatest mission that we could ever have. And that's just to share what you have done in us, that you have saved us, that you love us so much, that instead of leaving us, God, to the punishment that we deserved, you sent your son to take that punishment for us. And now we're filled with your Spirit and purpose for each day. Father, would you help us as we're all praying about where that impact is supposed to be made, how we're making disciples? Would you help us to see, and would you help us to respond in obedience in being intentional missionaries in those spaces? We pray this in Jesus' name.
If you have questions about this week's message, or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support community fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.